chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. We can't neglect each other around here. You know what? Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? In other words, we've got a job to do here. We've got to teach. We've got to take care of folks. We've got to minister. And we have a purpose. And it's not good for us to leave that purpose and go do this other purpose. So everyone has a job and everyone has to play their part in the ministry and in life. You shouldn't be doing my job and I shouldn't be doing yours. I shouldn't be telling you how to do your job and you shouldn't be telling me how to do mine. One of the biggest challenges that I see, at least in the workplace, is getting people to operate at the right level. Just operate at your job code, right? Don't try to run the thing if you're not running the thing. Don't try to be out there in the business below you that you shouldn't be in. Let people do their job. It's one of the biggest things. And here in the church, God also appoints roles. He instructs the person in that role on how to handle that business. Y'all think about that. That means if God's going to give any direction to the person in that role, Brother Ken preaching, Brother Adam as a deacon, Brother Tim here as the choir director, if he's going to send any direction to that person, the odds are he's not going to send it through you. He probably doesn't need you to be a conduit to carry that information forward. I've told this story a long time ago, this example I gave a long time ago. We got a lot of new faces here. Think about what Brother Buddy does here. Brother Buddy, you're still taking care of the grounds of the church here, aren't you? The facility. Just the church, okay. So Brother Buddy comes in, and I've seen his truck out here late at night, and he cleans and shines things up for us, and that's a pretty important job, isn't it? Well, let's say Brother Buddy's out trying to get some wood finishing, spray bottle polish. There you go. You see, I buy it all the time. Spray polish. And there's a couple of choices right there in front of him. One choice is this wintergreen or winter fresh smell. And the other one is like this lemon smell. Lemon fresh pledge, right? And Brother Buddy, he chooses the lemon fresh pledge. And he comes in here and he just hits everything with it. And we come in on Sunday morning. You come in, you say, lemon? Why would somebody choose lemon? This is a church. Everybody knows you choose winter fresh or fresh breeze. But what you don't know is that's Brother Buddy's job. And God's going to talk to Brother Buddy about that. And there just may be a family out there looking for a church. And God may use that smell to trigger in their mind, this is a lot like home. This reminds me of something in my life that's comforting. This reminds me of something that I want to be a part of. And it could be that smell that triggers it, and God's using that. So keep your hands off of other people's stuff. So God has us in certain jobs doing certain things. Let's go on to verse 3 there in chapter 6. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They say, we've got a job that's not being done here. Let's go find some people that can do that job. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Let's find somebody else out there to do this thing, and we'll do this thing that we were appointed for. So in verse 5, it says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. The saying pleased everyone. The idea pleased everyone. And they chose Stephen. Why did they choose him? He was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So they chose Stephen and others. They chose others, but we're talking about Stephen here. Stephen, they chose him because they saw something in him. They saw him in him. They saw God's blessing in Stephen. They said he was full of the Holy Ghost. They liked his principles. They liked his actions. They liked the way he conducted himself. They liked what he was all about. He brought something to the table. So what are we bringing to the table? If someone were to look out across us and say, what are you bringing to the table? What can we choose you to bring to the table? So many folks come to the table to see what's going on, get close enough to the action so that they can see what's there, but just not quite scoot up to the table and bring something. But Stephen, he brought something to the table. So many people don't raise their hand and take anything on, but they're experts in everything that's going on. So Stephen, he was not that type of man. He was a man of action, and it shows up in the following verses. Stephen's ministry, so think about this. First we had Peter, and Peter, he was preaching to the Jews in the beginning of his ministry. Then we had Paul, who was preaching to the Gentiles. So right in the middle of Peter and Paul, you had Stephen. Stephen was standing strong for this transitional time. How many of you have gone through any major changes that included a lot of people? It's always really calm and easy, right? Everybody loves change and everybody just gets along. No. No, change creates chaos because everybody is having to get comfortable with the new paradigm. Just think about this. Think about back in the 60s. Some of you were alive back then and had your consciousness going. Think about the civil rights movement. And you had to take this generation of folks, two or three generations of folks, that were ingrained in a certain paradigm on the way society should be, and they had to shift their paradigm and say, no, we should all intermingle and be equal in public places and that sort of thing. Well, I've seen some of the newsreels, I guess they called them newsreels, from that time, and you had police dogs biting kids, you had water cannons knocking people over, you had people being assassinated, you had people being beaten with nightsticks. That's a transitional period that includes a lot of different people. Stephen was a part of this transitional period right here where it was going from Judaism over to the Gentiles, and Stephen was a major mouthpiece for that transition. So change can charge emotions. And emotions were charged on Stephen. So, in verse 7 it says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." So because they had divided the work between the ministers and the people who were going to serve, they divided the work. More hands, more energy, it prospered. So in verse 7 it says, the number of disciples were multiplied. Because they chose the right people and were chosen for the right reasons, the work prospered. Because somebody like Stephen was willing to put energy into it, the work prospered. It takes energy to move anything. It takes energy to build anything. And just like Brother Kim was talking about this morning, the ministry takes work. And it can be inconvenient. Work is normally inconvenient. If you're putting energy into something that's convenient for you, that's called a hobby. If I want to go fishing or hunting and I just don't feel like it, then I just don't go. I go fishing when it's convenient. I don't fish, by the way. I go hunting when it's convenient. I go do hobbies when they're convenient. I go to work when it's time to go to work. And church is about work. We've got a job to do. God would have us work for His ministry. In verse 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." So Stephen did exactly what he was asked to do. They asked him to serve. They asked him to stand. He was serving and standing. He did great things because his God was able. His God is able. And I would ask you, is your God able? Is your God able? Well, don't we all have the same God in here? Well, kind of, yeah. I mean, we do. We all follow the same God of the Bible. But if I asked you to describe your God, and I describe my God, and Brother Ken described his God, and Brother Joe described his God, we would probably describe something just a little bit different sometimes. Because the way we define our God a lot of time is in our actions. It's in the way we trust Him. So the Bible said that Stephen was full of faith. He was full of faith. Stephen trusted God. So if you have a big God, then you'll believe His promises and trust His ways. If you have a big God, you'll turn down that sure opportunity to prosper when the Holy Ghost says no. Because you trust your God that He knows what's best for you. If you have a big God, this is in my notes, so I guess I'll just say it. If you have a big God, you'll tithe. Why does that even matter? That probably makes some people in here mad when I say that. But I've been around this thing for a long time, and really it's not about the church getting more money. It's not about what else we can buy here. It's not about paying salaries here, because God's got all that. He's got all that under control. Tithing is about you. It's you telling God that your ordinances and you are more important than this little bit of money right here. It's you saying, I acknowledge that all things come from you, and you've told me to cut out this portion and give it back, and I'm doing that because I trust you. That's what having a big God looks like. So, it says that Stephen, in verse 8, it says Stephen is full of faith and power. And I'm not too big into these Greek words in the translations, but I thought this was interesting from one of the writers. He said that word to full of faith comes from the verb plero, P-L-E-R-O-O, which means to fill up. He says the concept of filling with regard to a person's response, and it has to do with domination or control. So therefore, when it says Stephen was full of faith, it means that the thing which totally controlled him was faith. And if the thing that totally controls us is faith, then we can have a big God, because we can settle into the power of our God. Let's go on to verse 9 here and read. Then there arose a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians. Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. So, Stephen's done everything he was asked to do. He was chosen for this purpose. And all of a sudden, as the ministry is starting to grow, because of his efforts and others like him, there arises within the very body a force against him. If you're standing for God, there are forces working specifically and personally against you. There's always people out there, for some reason, working in the background specifically against you if you're pulling in the right direction for God. They may smile at you in the hall. They may hug you when they see you. But believe me, they're plotting their attack. They're out there. So Stephen had this same problem. It said in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. He was just right. And when they would take him on in a debate, he was just right. And he couldn't be shaken because he was full of faith in God. So when they can't beat you on the face of it, when you can't be debated away, and Jesus had the same issue as well. when they couldn't debate him away, it got ugly. Because now you got to take the argument, you know, behind closed doors, and that's what was happening here to Stephen. It says, then they suborned men. That word suborned means they secretly instigated. He said they disagreed with Stephen and they couldn't resist his wisdom, so they started gathering in groups around and they said, let's go see what we can stir up. We're going to stir something up. We're going to instigate secretly and get people mad at Stephen. You ever seen that happen? Seen that happen? I've seen that happen. I've had that happen to me. You see a mob forming and you're like, what? What's going on here? We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witness, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered. Well, what did Moses deliver? He delivered the law, didn't he? What did Jesus deliver? Stephen was talking about Jesus. He was bringing grace. He was transitioning from the law of Judaism to the grace to the Gentiles. That was the burden that he was to carry. That was the thing that he was to grow. So he was causing a paradigm shift. He was causing within those generations of folks in the synagogue, he was forcing them to think a different way. Just like back in the 60s, they were bringing out the water cannons and the dogs, but in this case, they didn't have those things, so they brought out the rocks against Stephen. So it says in verse 15, and they sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, and they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, this is really the verse that God's been kind of pressing in my mind lately. So we've gone through the story of kind of Stephen was in favor, and then they took up against him. And he's sitting in this council. Now, picture him in this council. And the folks of the synagogue are the ones accusing him. These are the people that are the authorities of the day. These are the people who know the law. These are the people who are respected by the community. These are the people that he would probably like him. He would probably like to be in favor with these people. But here he is sitting and being accused, and they're angry, and they're yelling, and they're after him. And the Bible says that he sat there with the face of an angel. I take you back to where it said he was full of faith and power, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. He had something bigger than men's approval. He had something greater than the respected elders. He had something more than what the folks in the synagogue had to offer him. He had a personal experience with Jesus Christ, and he had faith, and he had the Holy Ghost. So it allowed him to sit with the face of an angel. Have you ever been in a similar situation like this, where folks were coming up against you, and it felt like you were right, you knew you were right, felt like everyone else was wrong, but you couldn't get across. You're just trying to do your best, and you're met with angry opposition. Well, this can't happen today, especially in the world I live in, where we've got all the professionals, right? Most people dress like Brother Mike with the tie and the in that situation, right? Yeah. Well, there's a conference room that I attend. The table's about twice as thick as this right here, and I've sat and watched I've watched some discussion directed in my general direction, okay, where the table was pounded so hard, that thick table was pounded so hard, the coffee jumped straight up out of the cup and laid out across the table. What are you going to do? And you're right the whole time. and you know you're right, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Christian? You going to crawl across the table and smear that coffee? No, what you're going to do is you're going to do like Stephen, because we take the high road. We're going to sit there with the face of an angel. That's exactly what we're going to do, because we've got the Word to guide us. We've got the Word to lead us. And because we've got that, we can plant that in our heart and we can settle in that. Well, the reason Stephen was able to do that is Stephen had something very special. Stephen had a core. What does that mean, he had a core? He had a core. Stephen didn't need anybody to tell him who he was. Stephen didn't need the elders to affirm him. Stephen had a core. He was full of faith. So when you got a core, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you. They can't shake you off your seat. If you know that you're in the Word of God, there's nowhere else to go from that. So let them bring it, right? Just settle into that. Now don't smirk at them. Come on. But you can sit there with peace. How can you sit there with peace? I got it on this next page here. I have used this verse over and over in my life since the Lord shared it with me. If y'all will turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. See, there's one thing that Stephen knew. Stephen knew that the Lord does not give you the spirit of fear. Whenever you're afraid, this Bible verse right here says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do you know how many times I've been in nervous, shaky situations and I've sat there and said, "The Lord does not give me the spirit of fear. So why am I scared? Why am I worried?" It's not because the Lord wants me to be. Because what He gives us is power and love and a sound mind. So Stephen sat in this situation and he had that core of God and full of faith, knowing that he didn't have to be afraid. Is your God big enough and you trust Him that you can settle in this verse and sit at the table of opposition with the face of an angel? So, I hope God will bless you with that verse and the next time you're in an anxious situation. So, Stephen, it says that God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So, where does Stephen's love show up? Let's look at that real quick, and I'm almost done. It says, so he didn't allow himself to become resentful or stoop to the level of his accusers. So often we are ready to fight fire with fire. If you're going behind my back, I'll go behind your back, because I can play that game too. What do you do when you know somebody's running behind your back? What do you do when that happens? Do you engage in that yourself? Because it's easy to go get your own little club built up or your own little army built up. And whoever gets the most people wins, right? I guess at some point there's going to be a fight out in the parking lot and it'll all get settled there. Yeah. I don't know. But just because somebody else is building up their army doesn't mean you have to, because you've already got. You've got that security. You've got that protection. If you act like you trust God and you don't go participate in that stuff, maybe God will just take care of it for you. He'll just handle it in His way. So God would not have us act like the world. God would not have us go participate in those things. And some of you may be thinking, "Well, Randy, that's naive. That's not the real world." I saw it last week in my own life. He'll just settle it. You won't even know how He did it. It'll just, and it'll be there. You can trust God to do that. Your God is big enough. So, let's go back to Acts. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Let's look at where Stephen exhibits his love. Now, this is after the trial had already gone on. They had accused Stephen, and Stephen had the face of an angel. And then they let Stephen talk. So, go read past chapter 6 and up through chapter 7. And Stephen didn't hold back. He was not a weak man. He put it right in their face and told them just the flat out truth. And he said, this is the way it is. This is the gospel. This is my core. This is who I am. And it says in verse 60, and they kneeled down, and he kneeled down after, this is when they were stoning him, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So Stephen loved them. He loved them right to the end. And God wouldn't have us hate our enemies. Even though it's very easy to build very deep resentment toward people. You ever had somebody just walk into a room and you get that shudder feeling that just runs right through you? You ever been locked into a situation where you have to see those people every day? Or maybe you report to them? Or maybe they control a portion of your life. Maybe they're one of your customers. Any number of things like that. You can't get away, and there's that shudder feeling. Well, Stephen, even as the stones were flying, he loved. He loved. Now I can think of one other person that loved that way. So Jesus suffered on the cross. And what did he say when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This thing is real, y'all. This thing is practical in your life today. Jesus can change things. If you don't believe it, I'm willing to talk about it anytime. And I will tell you personal experiences how He's changed my life and things He's done. We got a big God. Let Him be a big God. Trust Him. Let Him be a big God. He can only do what your faith will allow Him to do in your life. If you run around like everybody else, acting like everybody else, God can't honor that. He can't bless that. He can't bring blessing around that activity. But if you can sit there with the face of an angel, if you can be full of the Holy Ghost, if you can be full of faith, if you can tap into His power, if you can understand that you have your place, they have their place, you have your job, they have their job, do your thing, do what God would have you to do, God can bless that, and God can honor that, and God can be a big God in your life. And if there's anybody out there that's kind of flirting with this thing called Christianity, and you're just kind of checking it out. Maybe you're here because somebody brought you here. I would encourage you to keep coming until you get your own experience with Christ, because He will make a difference in everything. Thank you.
Work every time if you'll let it work. Amen. Appreciate you being here this evening. Let's stand up and we're going to be dismissed. Remember, we've got a little fellowship out back tonight. Hope everybody's staying.